C1B3.
Number 3B.
All right, so we have seen here first the Christ as the Christ, Christ expressing himself. What is that expression? That the Christ shows that the origin and its expression is one, the oneness of being, therefore divine science. Now she goes a step further and shows it from the level of absolute Christian science in point 12. And we have said here, Christ expresses, see, now he expresses it, expresses God's spiritual eternal nature as man's likeness. Can you see, he expresses it now, makes it coincide, that there is a coincidence between God and man. Here, the coincidence as the man's God likeness. Well, her explanation is showing us much clearer. It is the marginal heading here, Messiah or Christ. Well, again, she has to tackle first that the Christ is not a synonymous term for Jesus. What is it then? She says it is a divine title. Now, here she shows that Christ is a divine title. What kind of a title? That kind of a title which expresses God's spiritual eternal nature. Can you hear? The Christ wants to express itself. It's that title which says that God wants to express itself. It has a Christ. It isn't a measure, it isn't a question, is God going to do something about any situation? He's not asleep and you have to wake him up through prayer and through worship and so on and to demonstration, say, go and work. It is that sense that the Christ is the divine idea, as the word. As the Christ says, I'm constantly going to express myself in the likeness of my origin. Constant. I'm going to express myself in the likeness of my origin. So it is expresses God's spiritual and eternal nature. That Messiah is the spirituality which was taught, illustrated, and demonstrated in the life of Jesus. So that really the title Christ Jesus signifies the God life. Therefore we can see if we flow along that line. Just take the first two big tones again. Christ as the Word, Christ as the Christ. Just get into the habit. You are in the category of the Christ. The Christ is what? And you don't have a static sense because the Word is the origin and the cause. You have an expressing sense. So whenever we are conscious about the Christ, we have a sense that that Word of God is a dynamic power that is always at work and always wants to express itself, that does not need to put into operation. All right, so I say, I see in consciousness the Christ as the Word says, first the definition of the Christ. Christ is that divine idea. That divine idea which always wants to bring out the truth of everything. That's the purpose of the Christ. So I have defined, see, the purpose of the expressing idea. What does it want? It wants, as a divine idea, always to lead into all truth. Do we believe it? We don't. Let's be quite clear. We go and sit down and say, I have jolly well to go and demonstrate and to work out and make my demonstration about this and about that and the other. Because we don't believe that there is a Christ. How can we go and make the Christ operate? It's not possible. Not possible. You can't boss around the Christ idea. No. You can't. But what we can is to accept the Christ idea. To sit back in all quietude and calmness and say, in that whole universe, there is only one thing actually operating, and nothing can stop that, a Christ. What does the Christ do? What is the Christ? The Christ of the Word says, I am that factor in being that always wants to express God, that does always manifest God, always wants to manifest the Word of God, and so bring to every situation the truth. Therefore, the Christ is the Christ I can see. Then the Christ brings to every situation the whole Christ nature, because there is an absolute coincidence between God and man, between the origin of the Christ and what the Christ brings forth. There is a coincidence of spiritual agreement between God and man. Therefore, from the point of the relative showing, or from the point of view of absolute Christian science showing, that it brings always forth in every situation that which is absolutely like God. like the Word, God light. So Christ Jesus just meant that Jesus, that was God light. And to us it means if we free the Christ from the connotation of Jesus, which we have to do, is that at every moment, at every second, in every situation, the Christ-likeness or the God-likeness is being brought out through that operation of the Christ. That the Christ has nothing else in view but always to translate the origin of God, the nature of God, the Word of God to every situation and bring out in every situation the likeness of its origin. And that's a consciousness. We have just to culture that consciousness, because the human thinking is goes the other way around. It says, yes, there is a God, yes, there is a Christ, but is he going to operate? Is he going to bring out what we want to bring out? It's full of doubts, it's full of mysticism, and we believe we have to do something humanly that this Christ is going to operate, instead of accepting these categories, because the Christ is not dependent on us. If we think about it or don't think about it, if we worship it or don't worship it, the Christ is a Christ. You can't help it. And it just has within itself that nature to bring out its own likeness everywhere. Where? Everywhere. The moment I say everywhere, where is my focal point in Christianity? Because the where, the everywhere, is Christianity, the space sense, the realm of being, huh? And therefore, we come right afterwards to the next, to the Christ as Christianity, namely showing the everywhere. My epitome is for Christ as Christianity. Christ comes at all times. Can you see? At all times. To all. Can you hear again the all? And blesses all. Do you hear that the allness of Christianity, the realm of Christianity, doesn't say anything about God or the Word. It now says something about the Christ coming to where? To the whole of Christianity, to the whole realm of being. And this is what she presents in point 13 and 14. In point 13, we have the following caption. Christ, the spiritual idea, inseparable from its divine principle. You see, that was, you see, up to this point, to this comma, you have still Christ as Christ, the coincidence, the spiritual agreement between principle and idea, but comes at all times and to all men. Now you have the realm of where this Christ idea works, Christianity. Can you hear? The side note is here the divine principle and idea, the oneness of them, and the illustration she gives that this Christ is independent of Jesus, that this Christ comes to all Christianity, to all mankind at all time. She brings out very nicely, very clearly, that the Christ is without beginning of years or end of days. So it encompasses the whole history. It comes throughout all generations. Can you hear again? The whole sense of Christianity, both before and after the Christian era. The Christ has been before the Christian era, before Jesus, and the Christ comes to us after Jesus. It has nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus was just an exemplar. It comes to all, isn't that nice? It comes to all prepared to receive the Christ. That's the condition, actually. But it comes to all. It came to Abraham, to Jacob, to Moses, the prophets, you see, the Old Testament figure. The Christ came to them long before Jesus. The Christ was, is, and ever will be inseparable from its principle. She concludes, before Abraham was, I am, goes even further back, before Abraham, that Christ was, giving again a terrific sense that the Christ is without time and without space. Gives that wonderful realm, that third spiritual dimension of the realm that is without time and without space. I and my Father are one. That's the realm, the oneness of Father and man. The one Spirit includes all identities. So can you hear here the office of the Christ at the point of Christianity. That it says, that God-likeness which we had in Christ as a Christ, that God-likeness does not come to specific, individual, rare occasions. It is something that is one with the Father, that is inseparable with the Father. If the Father is all in all, as we have seen in the Word, then the Christ must be all in all. And so we come to the point that it says, actually, that Christ comes constantly. As long as there was God, the Christ was at work. Even before Abraham, the Christ was. And it came to Abraham, and to Jacob, and to Moses, and to prophets, and to Jesus, and it comes to us, and to everyone, to all who receive him. Isn't that the clear sense of Christianity? It's unmistakable, yes? Or she goes on and shows, but what is that Christ that comes to all from the point of view of absolute Christian science? That's point 14. We have here Christ, the spiritual idea, eternally one with God. See, that's still divine science. Does now what? And you come now to absolute Christian science, illumines forever heaven and earth. See, the moment you have a sense that it illumines, you have that sense from principle to ideas, you see. That's absolute Christian science. Always when we calculate how does God come to a specific case, to a specific plane of thinking and plane of experience, then you have the sense of absolute Christian science, the impact of the divine principle coming to us as individual ideas. And here she says, yes, she takes over from the preceding paragraph, I and my Father are one, showing, yes, the idea or Christ was or is eternal. It antedated Abraham. It dwelt forever in the bosom of the Father. That's still divine science. But doing now what? You see, it's now heaven bestowed. It is in the bosom of the Father, forever dwells in the bosom of the Father. It's already established as heaven bestowed. And now heaven bestowing, illumining heaven and earth. You get now a sense that the Christ has a Christianity. How, at the point that we had before, the Christ has a Christianity. It has always come to, in all times, to all who were willing to receive it. He came to all. In which office? What was the, I think you say, the office? Huh? Namely, he comes to illumine heaven and earth. It has come throughout history, right from Abraham onward, right from the Adam dream onward, has come as a Christ impact to every state of consciousness, awakening consciousness, awakening consciousness, awakening consciousness, and illumining consciousness. Came to the Adam dream, waking us up the Adam dream. It came to Jacob, waking him up to see that he is Israel. It came to Noah before, waking him up to build the bark, then to Jacob to build, to see his true identity, that Christ idea illumined the prophetic age, see, came to the prophets and showing them the truth about the principle of government in the universe. See, it's constantly coming and illumining. Naturally, if we keep that tonality, you see, we would really have a sense that at every time, under every circumstance, like ours today, where the whole Western world feels that we are in a terrific state of crisis. You know how wonderful your president yesterday explained that situation. It was quite impressive to see that he showed the whole Western world is at the crossroads, and no government, no administration, no law can do anything anymore, except the people's heart turned. And he made it very clear that it has become a metaphysical problem and no more a problem of administration and government. He made it very clear to the whole Western world. He was speaking to your country, but he was speaking to our country, to the Western country, just the same. We are in the same boat. And he showed there is only a few years left, and we have to make up our mind. Do we think that the government is going to bring our salvation, or are the people waking up and turned? I said, let's see that we do every day something good to the country and not just criticize it. And that we have to turn back to the spirit of America. Well, Also in Europe, we have to turn back to the spirit of democracy, of freedom, of the individual, of the right of the individual. Did you hear how he said how we should turn away from materialism, from egotism, from running after money, from getting more material things, that there are other values that we have to culture again and resurrect? Well, who is going to do that except the Christ idea? Must come to everyone and illumine the whole universe. And so, let's see, this is the Christ at work. And if we stick to, in our quietude, to that Christ idea that works by itself, that we don't have to make work, then we can see that Christ idea, since time immemorial, has come as a true idea, voicing good, the Christ as the Word. Voicing good, bringing what to mankind? The Christ, the God, likeness, Christ as a Christ. Bringing that God-likeness to where? Christ as Christianity, to everyone, at every point in time and space and experience. And we have to see that and stick with those truths. And by golly, we have the answer. The others don't quite know how to do it. For them, it's a moral effort, a moral uprising. We see a moral uprising is not strong enough. But the Christ can do it. And the Christ will just force the Western world to wake up. Go. I don't want to get into politics, but that's what happens here, you see. To see that Christ is not just Jesus, that he comes to all men. And that he comes as the true idea, voicing good, as the God-likeness, every situation, illumining heaven and earth. Let's illumine heaven and earth. Let's in our consciousness see that light of the Christ is actually at work and is coming to every critical situation. And if the Western world at the end of the 6,000-year period is at the period where it doesn't know quite right, shall it blow up or not? Shall it go down the drain or not? I think if we entertain that Christ idea, we help it more than anything else we can do. So that finally, Mrs. Eddy comes to show in the Christ as science that this Christ is just really an eternal Christ. Just one Christ and an idea of the eternal Christ. Here she brings in at point 15 what I have tried to epitomize. The one Christ continues to exist in the eternal order of divine science. How does she explain that? You see, that we see there is actually only one Christ at work. Always when we come to the science side, we always see the oneness of being. And that we see that there is only one Christ eternally at work. She speaks about first that dual personality of Jesus. Just to pick up the thought, that's not the main problem here, the duality of the man Jesus. He just says, you see, Jesus was considered to be the Christ, but he had a dual personality, that of the seen and the unseen, the spiritual and the material, the eternal Christ and the corporeal Jesus. But she says this was only a transitional stage, because actually what Jesus wanted to show is that he continued after, that this dual personality continued until which point? And now we come really to the Christ as science. To the Master's ascension, when the human material concept of Jesus disappeared. See, where it became obsolete. At that point where Jesus disappeared, and only the Christ was left over, so that the human concept of Jesus was of no avail, was an obsolete concept, so the human sense concept of Jesus disappeared, while the spiritual self, or Christ, can you hear now, the personality of the Christ? You remember, in the word as sign, at this point, you had the personality of God, the triunity of God. You remember? At that very point. Now she depicts the personality of the Christ. What is really the person called Christ? Not Jesus. Jesus disappeared, but the true self, the spiritual self, that's the personality of the Christ, continues to exist in the eternal order of divine science. Do you see? The true sense of the Christ as divine personality of being, God having a Christ, the person of God, the Trinity of God, having a Christ, having an idea. That idea continues forever just as God continues forever. And so exists in the eternal order of divine science, because the Christ is always that which brings order into everything. He comes as the right idea, the true idea, always bringing harmony, always illumining the universe, therefore always bringing the divine order into the universe, taking away the sins of the world as the Christ has always done even before. Do you hear the eternality of the person, divine person, the self of Christ? And then in the last point, point 16, she brings it to the point of absolute Christian science, namely to show that science must understand the Christ. It is under the marginal heading Eternity of the Christ, where she says, actually the Christ, you know, was like a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was never recognized. The world could never see it. It was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But it is undying in the deific mind. You have again the eternality of the Christ. Though it seems that it has been slain and not been, that one hasn't taken any notice of it, it's still undying in the deific mind. That's why the Christ says, and this is so interesting, I am the first and the last. You get again the eternality of the Christ. I am the first and the last. I was before Abraham and will be from eternity to eternity. I am he that liveth. It's the eternal living Christ. I am he that liveth, but was dead, not understood. For the people I was dead, for the Christ idea I was alive. For God I was alive forever since time immemorial. For those who don't receive it, I was dead. I was not understood. But now, she says, I am alive forevermore. Science has explained me. And this is a mystical, not a scientific, a mystical statement of the eternity of the Christ. It's mystical because it's contradictory. I'm alive and I was dead. You can't be alive and dead at the same time. But in the mystical logic, this is true. Because from one point of view, the Christ was dead, namely from the point of view of misunderstanding, and at the same time the Christ was alive, namely from the point of view of scientific explanation. So that the Christ continues forever in the divine order of science. Wonderful. You see what this whole Christ vertical wants to show us. You know, it says, look here, don't always think of just of the word of God, the first 8 points, that there is a God. Always see that there is another dimension in being. That dimension is the second side of the Holy City. That dimension is the Christ dimension. What is that Christ dimension? That Christ dimension is that you should be aware, consciously aware, and rest in that awareness that God has an expression. That expression is the Christ. Therefore, that Christ as the Word wants to express itself and bring the truth to every situation. How does it want to bring the truth to every situation? The Christ, as the Christ says, by bringing all that is like God to every situation. The Christ therefore established the God-likeness. It doesn't establish God, it establishes the likeness of God. The likeness of God, so that there is a coincidence between God and man. And that Christ has come as Christianity through all time and space, to everyone. Why? Because if you see the Christ as the fourth point in science, you know that Christ is an idea, an eternal idea, and goes on and on and on and on and on, even if you have not understood it. It goes on.